Scriptures say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. It's nice to have you here today. We've got some new friends, people that have returned. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, introduce yourselves, okay? What a wonderful day we had yesterday at our amazing Bethesda pie, ice cream, and auction social. Yeah. Yeah, I got some wonderful buys, too. Yeah. There's some things still left for sale out there, so take and browse those tables. And there's a big refrigerator freezer side by side, ice on one side and water. That would look good in your garage. Anyway, they're going to put that on eBay unless there's a purchase. But something like $2,300 that we raised without all the things that are left. So we're probably going to receive over $3,000. Thanks to everyone who supported that and who came and who donated. And it was just a really fun day. This is a wonderful congregation. I hope you realize that. The next fun-filled, exciting adventure into the life and times of Bethesda Evangelical Lutheran Church is our Vacation Bible School, and that runs June 15th to 19th, and there's some items on boards in the back there. If you'd like to donate or loan us some of those things, for those of you who are visiting, in all the congregations I go to, this church puts on the best VBS of any place I've ever been. Last year we had two kids cry all week, and that was on Friday when they asked their moms if they could come back next week, and they said, no, we can't. There's no vacation. Oh, I want to go to Vacation Bible School. That's how much fun it is. So if you could help out, look at those sheets and donate, okay? Today no one had signed up for coffee, to serve coffee between church, so a couple of guys said, we'll put the coffee on, Pastor, if they don't mind eating store-bought cookies. So they ran down and got store-bought cookies. So everyone, please join us for coffee fellowship. Lawn mowing schedule is out there. Our Saturday evening worship service begins 5 o'clock. We run the Saturday evening service through June, July, and August, okay? And if you haven't ordered your memory garden bricks, if you haven't been down there, that memory garden is a wonderful, wonderful place to do some meditation. Just go down and take a look at how nice that is down there. Carolyn Morris, is she here? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Come on up. We've been taking time in our beginning worship to share a little bit about our church and our committees. Carolyn is the chairperson of the Faith, Health, and Wellness Committee, so why don't you share what's going on?
All right. Good morning, everyone. I am the chairperson of Faith, Health, and Wellness. The members of the committee are Kathy Berland, Kathy Carlson, Darlene Christensen, Gloria Christensen, Ruth Hammond, Lynn Haas, Patty Honnold, myself, Pastor, and Nancy Hansen is our rep from the council. Our duties on this committee are parish nurse services, including writing the article for the Lifeline, baby bundles for baptisms, the medical loan closet, care notes, bereavement program, prayer shawls, sending cards and notes, calling and visiting shut-ins, and the military board, which Diane takes care of totally. We're excited about starting the Helping Hands again. There's an insert in the bulletin today, so please sign your name and hand it to the usher if you can help. Also, we're starting a fellowship day. It's going to start the first Tuesday of the month, which is next Tuesday. at 1:30, and it's just a get-together to meet other people and have something to do on a Tuesday. There's going to be a little entertainment, and I have that capitalized here because it's a little entertainment. We're going to have coffee, and we're just going to do nothing. This coming Tuesday will be the first one, so come and join us and see what it's all about. The members of this committee are all caring and loving people who are devoted to this ministry. If you know anyone who needs a call or a visit or a card, there's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship room on one of the bulletin boards, and it's bordered in bright yellow, so you can find it. Please let us know if there's anything else that we can help you with. Thank you.
Hang on a second. Helping Hands, tell us if someone needs a screen put on their
Well, the yellow
window?
Thing in your bulletin kind of says it.
Okay.
And it's all very light work. There's going to be no ladders or roofs or anything like
okay.
that.
Okay, so we just want to help each other down the road, and that's what Helping Hands is about. So, Eric, if you can't screw in that plate on the light switch, give me a call, and I'll find someone who can. Hang on a second. One more thing.
Okay.
The program on Tuesday afternoon, that's a fellowship day. Come on for coffee.
Yep.
Each time there'll be coffee and something to eat and some visit, and then there's going to be a short program. I heard that the Amazing Tarmac might show up on Tuesday
really?
Afternoon.
Really? Oh, cool.
Who knows all, sees all, tells all. Do you think that's what's going on?
I've heard that.
Should I share one of those with you? Depends. You repeat, depends.
Depends.
Depends. The answer is, or the question is, what does Bill Clinton wear? Sorry. Sorry. It's got to be better than that. Anyway, that's Tuesday afternoon. We're just, if you're looking for fellowship, cup of coffee, spend a little time together, that's what we're going to do, okay? You going to come, Dale?
Sure.
All right. Let's open with a prayer. Oh Lord, we gather on this Trinity Sunday. What a beautiful day you have blessed us with. Blue skies, clean air, clean water, laughter in church. Your son would be happy. We pray, oh Lord, that your spirit is here and it might stir in our hearts to remind us that we are your children, that we are loved and cared for, and that we have a power source to always tap in on. We don't have to be afraid because you are with us. Send your spirit and stir it in our hearts, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is For All the Saints. Let's sing the first two and the last two verses of 422.
Thank you.
rise. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the creator of wind and rain, field and ocean, the bread of life coming down from above, the power at work within us and this world.
Amen.
Before God and in the company of our sisters and brothers, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, God and Father of all, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have thought better of ourselves than others. We have told lies, said hurtful things, acted in ways we wish we could take back, and looked the other way when action was needed. In your mercy, O God, forgive us, cleanse us, and heal us. For the sake of Jesus our Savior. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. In Christ, you are a new creation. Your sins are taken away and you are made new. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Now we haven't heard for quite a while our friends, the Bell Choir, playing Sanctuary for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was fabulous. Today, our first reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. In describing the new life of faith, Paul refers to all three persons of the Trinity. The Spirit leads us to recognize that we are children of God the Father and sisters and brothers with Christ the Son. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Please read responsive with me Psalm 29. And when you see the bold R, repeat the phrase, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord of glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord, glory to God's strength. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders, and the Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Lebanon, skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a gun. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Actually, there is no gospel. Please be seated. Let's join in singing our sermon hymn, Shall We Gather at the River?
Thank you.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Did I just say that there was no gospel today? Gospel means good news, and everything is good news. If you're looking for the perfect church, it's probably not this one, okay? Our secretary forgot to put the gospel lesson in. The gospel lesson was from John 3, story of Nicodemus going to Jesus at night, knocking on the door. Jesus says, if you want the truth, if you want to find peace in your heart and joy in your soul, you have to be born again. That means if you want peace in your heart and joy in your soul, you've got to change your attitude. You've got to put on new eyes. You have to have a new heart. You have to live a different way, okay? You have to don't live like the world tells you. You got to be born anew, born from within, born again. It's a word that the church has played around with so long that we don't even understand what it means anymore. I wasn't preaching on the good news. Whoops, on the gospel lesson from John 3 today. Anyway, I was going to talk about our lesson from Romans. If you want the best theology of Paul, and perhaps the best theology in all the New Testament, chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans are the best theology, understanding of a God there ever was written, okay? And part of our lesson today comes from that. Hitchhiker was hitchhiking out in California. Michael Douglas, the actor, stopped, picked him up, and the guy was amazed, and he said, "Do you know who you are?" And that's the question we're asking. I'm asking you, do you know who you are? That's what our theme is for today. Do you know who you are? I'm thrilled to be able to tell you, by the power invested in me as a minister of the gospel, who you are a child of God. You're a child of God. Maya Angelou once told an interviewer, "When I found out that I was a child of God, when I understood that, when I comprehended that, when I internalized that I was a child of God, I became courageous," she said. "I dared to do anything that was a good thing." Yesterday, our congregation put on this pie ice cream auction social. We are a child of God. We dare to do something to help others. It was a good thing. When you're a child of God, you dare to do good things. You put it on the line to do good things. Whose phone's ringing? Bring it up here. I want to find out who's not in church. They got it off. Doggone it. If that ever happens, I want to find out why they're not in church, okay? No, that's a wonderful statement Maya Angelou had, huh? "When I found out that I was a child of God, I became courageous. I dared to do anything that was a good thing." If you truly are the child of God, if you believe you're a child of God, it's going to change your heart. You're going to look through at the world in a different eyes. That's what born again is all about. You're not going to be afraid. You're not going to have a spirit of fear, because you know the power of God is with you. The presence of God is with you. The promise that he will always take care of us is with us. It changes our outlook. A guy named William Bosch wrote a book about the African-American scientist George Washington Carver. Carver was, of course, a scientist who did miracles with the peanut, okay? In January 1921, Carter was brought to Washington, D.C. to describe his work to Congress. The Ways and Means Committee wanted to find out what he was doing with the peanut. He wasn't prepared for the disrespect he received. He was an African-American. At that committee hearing, attitudes toward people of color were far different than they are today. It was far less restraint on the part of persons who were openly racist in their language. I mean, it was not a good time to be black in our country. Almost enough to cause George Washington Carver to turn around and just leave the place. But he wrote in his autobiography, this is what he said, "Whatever they said of me, I knew that I was a child of God. So I said to myself inwardly, Almighty God, let me carry out your will." And so Bosch describes the scene. He sits before the Ways and Means Committee, got to the podium, was told that he had 20 minutes to make his presentation. He opened up his display case, started explaining the project, and so engaging was his discussion of the peanut and how it had evolved and how it was going to help America that after 20 minutes was done, they gave him another extension of 20 minutes and another extension of 20 minutes until he talked an hour and three quarters. And then they voted him four more extensions after that. He was so engaging, and it was so exciting to hear his story that at the end they gave him a long round of applause, and all because he knew who he was. He was a child of God. And because he refused to be defined by the standards other people had made for him, he knew who he was. He's a child of God. It's a powerful thing when a person discovers that he or she is a child of God. And you are that. So be confident. You're okay. You're loved. And his power's there with you. I hope you understand that. That's an important lesson. That's what Paul tells us in that first lesson that was read today from Romans 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as God's child. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. By him we cry, Daddy. It's like a loving father who puts us in his laps and holds us and protects us and cares for us and watches out for us. Paul says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might share in his glory. I don't like that part about sharing in his sufferings, but Jesus, if you want to know the way to live, the greatest of all is servant of all. The last shall be first. I suppose that's the kind of sufferings. The world says, I mean, that's suffering if you're the last and if you're the servant. It's not really suffering because you find out what life is all about. I mean, and you find out, it's just countercultural to the way the world thinks. So it's not really sufferings, it's finding life. You need to know that you're not just simply a child of an impersonal universe. I mean, God didn't just create us and take off. You're a child of a loving God who has watched over you from the day you were born and traveled with you from that time. I like reading some of Kurt Vonnegut. He put it beautifully in one of his poems. This is what Vonnegut says. He says, God made mud. God got lonesome. So God sent to some of the mud, sit up. See all I've made, said God, the hills, the sea, the sky, the stars. And I was some of the mud that got to sit up and look around. Lucky me, lucky mud. I, mud, sat up and saw what a nice job God had done. That's pretty cool, especially if you're a kid, we're mud. Think of what it means to be a child of God. First of all, it means that God is always going to watch over you. There will never come a time when God will stop loving you. Even if you're prone to wander far, far away, God's love for you is secure. There's a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. Son's real indictment was not going away from his father, but in great disrespect, he showed his father. He didn't want to wait until the father was deceased to get his inheritance. So he asked, Father, can I have my inheritance? You all know the story. He wanted his inheritance now. This is the same equivalency as saying to the father, I wish you were dead, so then I could have all your stuff. And in the Jewish culture, that would have been unheard of. Despite the boy's waywardness and selfishness, the father never stopped looking for the son's return, and there was never any question that the father did not love this kid. In fact, at the end of every day, he would look out over his fields and over the land and wait for this son's return. He thought, will he ever come back? Sorrow in his heart, but hope in his heart as well that his son would come back. As a father, I think of my son, and I wonder, is he safe? Is he doing a good thing? You see, being a child of God is a permanent relationship. We say that we have our love for our own children, if we're so blessed, and that our love will never end. Imagine how much love God is capable of. I mean, it's so much that God declared in one of his epistles, God is love. Skip keeps pounding home that point, God is love, God is love, God is love. And as much as I like to stick it to him, he's absolutely right. That's such a profound truth, that God is love. I was a missionary in Southeast Asia for 7 years with my family. During that time, and even still today, there's probably the fastest growing Christian movement was in China, communist China. They had house churches. They'd have to meet in secrecy. Each house had their own pastor that they appointed that would lead prayer and lead worship, and they would support, and the church just grew and grew and grew and grew, and it's still growing today. One of their great Christian Chinese teachers was a fellow named Watchman Nee. Nee once told about a new convert who came in to see him. He was in deep distress. The new convert said, "No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply can't seem to be faithful to my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." With much wisdom, Nee thought a moment, and he pointed out to the family dog. Said, "You see that dog over there? He's my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He's obedient. He's a pure delight to be around." And then he said, "Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who's going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son's my heir." And then he looked at this young convert and said, "You are Jesus Christ's heir because it's for you that he died." Nee, of course, was referring to our lesson today. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, we are then heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. The kingdom of heaven has been promised to us. We can catch glimpses of it here and now. Paul writes about our adoption. So we're adopted. Jesus says before he ascends, I'm going to be with you always. His Spirit is in our hearts. We are part of God. We are children of God. And the Holy Spirit testifies to this fact. I'm convinced that the biggest problem in many people's lives today is that they don't know who they are. Their true identity is a mystery to them. One of my clergy journals, I was reading about a Jesuit priest named Greg Boyle. He's put together a team of surgeons in Los Angeles that take tattoos off. Great big gangs run there, and when these gangbangers want to leave, they have to remove their tattoos because the gang puts their mark on them and they're forever that member of that gang. So they go around in a van they put together and take tattoos off. It's a mark of ownership of a gang when they have a tattoo. So the process of tattoo removal is very, very painful. Maybe we should have Skip come up and show us his. Patients describe using this laser beam as feeling like hot grease on their skin, but you got to get it taken off. It has to be removed. And the waiting list grows and grows and grows of those who will put up with whatever pain it takes to be transformed, to receive a new identity, to leave that mess they're in. You see, if you don't know who you are, you're apt to take on a false identity. You take on the identity of any group you're with. I was a kid, I ran with a gang. I did some really stupid, mean, selfish stuff. And I didn't know that I was a child of God. Once I figured it out, and it took me a few years, my whole identity changed. New person in Christ. So we've got gangbangers out there and drug users and adulterers and racists and materialists and narcissists and There's all kinds of enslaving tendencies in our society. Physical tattoos might be the easiest to remove because they're simply removed from our skin. What about those signs of slavery that are tattooed on our souls? We can have those removed through the power of Christ, huh? So do you know who you are? That's the question today. The day you understand that you're a child of God is the day that you will learn what true freedom is all about. World tells us many, many, many lies about who we are, huh? They'll call you loser or unlovable or unworthy or incapable or deficient, and before long we're telling ourselves that we're weak and we can't stand. We need to replace those lies with God's truth about us, that we are children of the Most High God, you and me. We're loved with an everlasting love. We are worth something, you and I. We can walk through life with our heads high because of the one who calls us his own. I've been watching some of these kids' shows. I got grandkids now, so I got to spend time doing that. I was watching Toy Story this winter. Toy Story is about two characters. One is Woody, a cowboy, and the other is Buzz Lightyear. To infinity and beyond! He's a Power Ranger, huh, an action figure. Well, early in the movie, Woody tells Buzz Lightyear that he's not some kind of space hero. You're not a space ranger. You're just an action figure. You're a child's plaything. And after failing in an attempt to fly, Buzz realizes that the truth of Woody's statements, and he's grief-stricken and he's disillusioned. He thought he was something special, and now he's told he's not, so he hangs his head in resignation and says, I'm just a stupid little insignificant toy. Later in the movie, Woody tries to undo the damage he's done, and he seeks to comfort his friend by underscoring the love of the boy who owns both of them. And he says to this Buzz Lightyear, you must not be thinking clearly. Look, over in that house, there's a child, a kid, who thinks you're the greatest there ever was in the world. And it's not because you're a speech ranger, it's because you're his. And as Buzz lifts his foot, he sees written on the bottom of his foot in permanent ink this little boy's name. And seeing that image, he breaks into a smile and he recognizes, yeah, I am somebody. Someone loves me. And he gets up and he has determination in his heart and confidence in his soul, and he knows that this boy who owns him treasures him deeply. As we leave this place today, I hope that you'll do so with a new determination and a new confidence because of the one who has adopted you as his own child. You don't have to live in fear. You can be who God created you to be because he'll never stop loving you. And so Paul writes for us today, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption as his child. And by him we cry, Daddy, Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Wow. Are you born again? Born again. Amen. May God's peace be with you now and always. Amen. Let's join together in singing Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and we'll ask our ushers to receive our morning offering. Thank you. Please rise for the offertory prayer found at the top of page 5. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, in the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. Trusting in the Spirit's power, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Holy God, you dwell in the church by your life-giving Spirit. Inspire the newly baptized, empower church leaders, and renew all of us for service in Christ's name. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, you fill the universe with your splendor. Restore right relationships among all living things, both seen and unseen. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Saving One, you so love this world. Bring justice to the oppressed, mercy to those who are angry, nourishment to the hungry, and peace to the violent and their victims. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
Merciful God, you visit the hurting, giving healing and strength. We pray for your children in any need, the orphaned, the neglected, the grieving, the injured, and those we name this day. We especially lift up before you those in our lives, family and friends. Remember Darwin and Dean and Betty and Linda and Jim and Dick and all those who need your healing touch. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving Spirit, in you we live and move and have our being. As Mary visited Elizabeth in her waiting, visit those awaiting birth or preparing for adoption. All who struggle to conceive or cannot have children, and those mourning pregnancy loss, hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this congregation, for the joy that we experienced yesterday, trying to help others down the road. We look forward to all the children gathering us at Vacation Bible School. Be with the teachers and students. And be with all those who will be leaving school this week, those graduating and those taking their summers off. Keep them safe. Give them willing, questioning minds and hearts that they might experience your earth very well. We pray for our Faith, Health, and Wellness Committee and our Day of Fellowship and our Helping Hands program. Help us all to join in to help others down the road. God of life, we remember your saints. With them, may we bear the life of Christ to those around us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive these prayers, gracious God, and those prayers known only to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you this day and forevermore. Go in peace, live in love as Christ loved us.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 543, Go My Children with My Blessing.